two things. One is we had to change or actually update our church constitution because there were some mostly procedural changes that the synod has requested everyone to update. And I think we changed the number of council members. But at any rate, as a congregation, we have to approve that, the changes, and then submit it to the synod for approval. So out back, and I think John has been passing them out, we have copies of our proposed revised constitution, and we'll talk about it next week and vote on it. And then the second thing is some financial matters that we have to have the congregation vote on. They involve a large expenditure to fix the furnace system downstairs in Kitty Corner, which we've been working on for a while. They finally have a solution, and we hope. And then the second part has to do with money to be spent to repair the steps, the outside concrete steps going down into Kitty Corner. So we'll discuss those things next week. But I wanted to make sure you knew what was going on, and if you see anybody, to tell them to come, because we'll vote on it with whoever is here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the ELCA has a church-wide assembly. I want to say every 3 years, where representatives of every synod gather together, and probably at every church-wide assembly, the Constitution is reviewed and little changes are made here and there. And so we realize we have updated or changed ours for a few years, and so changes that the ELCA voted on at the last church-wide assembly, and probably the one before that too. Today is the day that the parish council meets. Thank you to those members. We have 3 members of Holy Trinity, 3 members of Hope on the parish council. This is actually our first meeting, and we are looking forward to Bishop Minister Stoller's visit with us on September 20th, and we're going to plan our worship service and then a lunch afterwards for that day. So that will be our task for today and for prepare for that event. Also, you already know Vacation Bible School is going on. Tomorrow this will be an active place, and Thursdays as well. Thursday is the children gather to sing songs and play games and listen to Bible stories and skits and eat some snacks and watch a science experiment and do a craft and probably some other things I'm not thinking of at this moment, but it's a lively time. So thank you for your support of that. As we pray for the children and also for the volunteers and the staff, I think we're not being a part of that. A couple other things, something to look forward to and put in your calendar if you haven't had a chance, is our ice cream social that is coming up on Wednesday, July 15th at 6:30. And maybe, just maybe, we get to be outside this year. The last 2 years seems to me we got rained out and either had to come in quickly or just stayed inside. But maybe this year we actually get to the outside. And then finally, one of the members of our parish is struggling with some health concerns. Carolyn Barrett has been at the hospital on and off for a while and is fighting cancer again. And Sam and her daughter Hannah and Tony created a GoFundMe page and connected that to
Thank you. Prophets and prophets. Your love, O Lord, forever I will sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your line forever and will preserve your throne for all generations.
Happy are the people who know the festival shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of the strength. By your favor, our might is exalted.
Truly, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Second, sin is an ever-slaving power which motivates us to live self-serving, disobedient lives. Sin's final payoff is death. We, however, have been set free from sin's slavery to live obediently under God's grace, whose end is the free gift of eternal life. A reading from the sixth chapter of Romans. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion of you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become enslaved to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your limitations. For just as you once presented your members to slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to even more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what fruit did you then gain from things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been free from sin and enslaved to God, the fruit you have leads to sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet
will receive a prophet's reward. And to everyone comes a righteous person, in the name of a righteous person, will receive the reward of the righteous. And to everyone gives even a cup of cold water, to one of these little ones, in the name of a disciple. Truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord.
Water can literally mean the difference.
to thou yours, and we're even called to go out and invite people to join us. We are called to be a place of welcome and hospitality, a place where God's love is experienced. We are called to offer those who thirst a cold cup of water and a chance to be in God's presence. I've had the opportunity to be a connect with them for confirmation camp for several years, and with Ellen is truly a wonderful place of welcome. People of all races, gender identities, and disabilities are welcome in their place. One year, one of our confirmation camp students was an autistic young man. He was not able to speak much and communicated mostly with body language and sounds. His whole college, and in fact the whole confirmation group, and in fact everyone in camp, went above and beyond to make him feel welcome and included, so that it was a positive leap for everyone together. Not only learning about God's love, but experiencing God's love. We are called to welcome one another and support one another. We are called to share God's love with one another. A love that is so great that Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for each one of us. We are to be God's light to one another in times of darkness and challenge, and share God's hope with one another in times of discouragement. We are to share a cup of cold water with all who thirst, literally and figuratively. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love, and for those whom you have sent to welcome us. Guide us as you send us out to welcome others. Let us be a place of invitation, welcome, and peace.